Praise God, praise God. Thank you, musicians. If you have your Bibles with you, please remain standing as we read a couple of scriptures. Genesis chapter 3, we'll begin there. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. If you'll turn just a few chapters ahead to Genesis chapter 6, at verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he made man on earth. It grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray tonight that you would speak to us, that you would put in our hearts, Lord, the very word of God, that we would hear it and receive it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take your seat. And the title of this message tonight, You Won't Find Grace in a Hiding Place. You won't find grace in a hiding place. I remember as a kid, and many of you will, and probably even some of you young people still do play this game. Who remembers playing hide and seek? Yeah? Hide and seek? We all love playing hide and seek. Who can tell me what the best part about hide and seek was? Was it getting back to the marker that you had to get back to home base? Or was it scaring somebody? I never won hide and seek. I was never very good at it. People would probably find me first. You know, foot sticking out somewhere or arm here. But you know, one night I got really serious about this. I thought, I'm going to really get serious about hide and seek. And you know what? It was pitch black outside. And I put on a black jacket, black pants, had dark shoes on, black socks. I was like going the whole hog with this. Had gloves on. And then I put a balaclava over my head as well. I thought, no one's going to see anything. Well, guess what? No one saw anything. I was right in the shadow, right next to where the home base was, in a shadow. And everybody walked straight past me, did not even see me there, completely oblivious. It was actually a bit boring because no one found me. But you know something? I learned a lesson. Hiding places are exactly what they are, hiding places. What do you hide in hiding places? Yourself? Yeah, I've certainly proven that. You can hide secrets. You can hide things. You know, we hear about those fabulous treasure stories where people have hidden treasure, you know, and people are still searching for those treasures today because they were hidden. But one thing happened. Hide and seek hadn't yet been invented when Adam and Eve were made. Do you know why? Because sin hadn't entered into the world. And so there was no concept of hiding for Adam and Eve. And when they had sinned, what did they do? They hid themselves. The Bible said in Genesis 3:7, and the eyes of both of them were opened. It wasn't just when the woman ate and her eyes were opened. It was when both had eaten, they were opened. It was at this point that the realization had come. And what was it? We are naked. We need clothes. And we need to hide. You know what hiding does? It doesn't solve the sin problem. Hiding never has solved the sin problem. It only perpetuates it and makes it worse. You know what the scripture said? 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, wherefore, come out from among them. Come out from your hiding places. Come out from those places that you've hidden yourself in. And wanted to say, be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Come out from your hiding place tonight, saints, and wherever it may be, meet grace face to face. For grace will receive you. Not it might be receive you. Grace will receive you. And you know something? Something has to be lost first in order to find it. True? That's why when we are lost, grace turns up. Grace turns up. When Adam and Eve came out of their hiding place, they had to own up for what had happened. They had to confess to God what had happened. You know, the funny thing is, God already knew what had happened, but he wanted them to say it, because by saying it, they own it. And so the question is, did they own it? Did they just say, God, we messed up, sorry about that? You know what they did? No, they didn't confess up. What did Adam do? Man, she made me do it. Nice guy. But didn't end there. What did the woman say? The serpent made me do it. What the snake say? He didn't have anything to say for himself. But you know, when we own something, we're declaring it, we own it. It's our problem. Once we can get through that, it becomes easier after that. Once we own it. Romans 10:10 says, for the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Too often people treat God like a curtain to hide their sin. But when grace is applied, it covers the sin. Everyone says amen. In a world very similar to the world today, and we even heard pastors speak about it briefly this morning, there was impending judgment coming. And you know, we are living in the last days, the end of days. We are seeing things in this world that was happening in the previous world, in the time of Noah. God was disgusted with the way man had become. It grieved him in his heart. And you know what the Bible says? He was hurt. It repented God that he even made us. He was hurt by that. And judgment said, I'm coming to destroy them. I'm going to utterly wipe everything out. But this world, faced with annihilation, there was only one thing found. It withstood the power of judgment. You know what that was? Grace. Grace. Grace withstood the power of judgment. And I thank God for that. Amen. You know, many people find things at the most critical times in their lives. You know what now Noah found? He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's what Noah found. Amen. And too often people will look for things to provide temporal satisfaction, but have an everlasting consequence. But when people find grace, it provides a permanent solution to the sin problem and a home in glory. We don't have to hang on to our sins. We don't have to hide behind a curtain with our sins. But when we apply grace to cover those sins, God forgives, God cleanses, and God moves forward with us. My point is, don't climb mountains that don't have eternity in mind. Climb the ones where the reward is grace in a higher place. Don't set your affections on the things that are in earth. You know, we strive for things that are temporal. Strive for promotion. Strive for a better job. Strive for things that are only temporal. But God calls us to higher things than that. Because you know what? The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things he will add unto you. You don't need to worry about the earthly stuff because God will take care of that. You only need to worry about the spiritual stuff. So focus on eternity. Focus on what's coming ahead of us. No longer can we remain hidden? No longer can our sins and problems remain hidden. I urge you tonight to meet grace out in the open. Bring those problems that you have to grace. Bring the sins that you have to grace and let grace cover you. You know, grace doesn't place conditions on the seeker. Did you know that? It merely offers itself as a covering to permanently cover sin. Don't think you can do this on your own. You know, you don't get right to get God. You know, we disqualify Jesus before we even give him a chance to show himself faithful, to prove that he is able. Some of us say that I've just gone too far. I'm just a sinner. There's no way that God can possibly ever forgive somebody like me. Well, I'm pleased to tell you, unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we may even ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Amen. Praise God. Now, unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we may even think or ask, according to the power that works in us. This is our God. There is nothing difficult for our God. There is nothing impossible with our God. My God is able to do anything and everything. He is the God of the impossible. He is the God that can bring nothing into something. He can make it happen. This is the God that we serve, the God of grace. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says this, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Why? Because it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing you and I can do to earn it, because it's a gift that God freely gives. You know, grace is calling, and it never has stopped calling. Grace is calling. It never has stopped calling. And you know, grace calls to you now. Can I just have a couple of young men, Brother Gian, Brother Maxwell, can you just come and move this table, please? Probably just bring the table up here. That's it. Praise God. Just perfect. Very good. As I was preparing this message, I thought about grace, and I thought what it meant for grace as a covering. And you know, there's many things that we have in life, issues and sins. And you know, there are issues that we have that can lead to sin. And tonight I've just pulled a few of them out. And you know, I've got one here. Anger. Anger. Who here has a problem with being angry? Man, I expect all men to put their hands up. I've got mine up. And you know, yep, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. That's what the Bible says. But think about it. How hard is it to sin not? Once a man gets angry, and I'm telling you, we just don't have angry fits every day, okay? Well, some do. All right, sorry, Brother Ken. Yes, I don't suffer from grumpy old man syndrome. I'm glad my wife's not here tonight, but anyway. But it's hard to sin not when you're angry. And you know, you can lead down that road. I said to Kylie yesterday, we were talking while we were having lunch, and I said to her, if I had the ability to change just one thing in this world, just one thing, I would remove one emotion. Just one. Anger. And some people say, well, that's a bit ridiculous. It's just part of who we are. But you know, there's been more damage done because of that in people's lives than more things I can think to tell you. Anger has led down to abuse, swearing, you name it. I'm not going to categorize everything. But you know, man, there's an answer to the anger problem. And you know, it's called getting on your knees. And I've got something here. Grace can cover that. Grace can cover that. And you know, we have many other things. We have another one called selfishness. Putting yourself first all the time. Thinking about yourself, number one. And in and of itself, selfishness, yes, it is sin, because you're putting yourself before God. But you know what? You know what can cover that? Grace can cover that. What's the next one? Gossip. Wow. No, gossip causes division. Everybody agree with that? You know, once a month we have a meeting at work, and the boss says at the end of the meeting, okay, let's clear things up. He says, anyone heard anything on the rumor mill? Once a month he does this. Says, anyone heard anything on the rumor mill? And you know why he does it? Because he doesn't want things floating around. That's going to cause problems in the work area. And so tonight, though, if there's a problem with that. Grace can cover that too. Filthy communication. And more often than not, we just think about swearing. That's not just swearing. It's talking about things inappropriately. Filthy communication. Alluding to things. Talking about stuff that's immoral. And you know what? Grace can cover that too. What about this one? Lying. Wow. Did you know that the book of Revelation says that those who were cast into the lake of fire, do you know who was cast in? Liars were cast in. And you think, wow, that's just a minor sin. That's not a big deal. Sin in the eyes of God is sin. It doesn't matter what it looks like. If it's sin, it's sin. God doesn't see a gray area with it. And you know, tonight, if you have a problem with lying, I urge you to meet grace, because grace is the answer. And what about this one? Media addiction. This was a tough one. And you know, when we talk about fasting, when we talk about fasting media, do you know how difficult it is for somebody who's always on the media to not be on it? Do you know how difficult it is? It's extremely difficult. Some people will spend hours searching and surfing the net, just looking for things to occupy themselves. Hours. People will stay up all night looking at stuff on the internet, searching for things. And you know what? People will play video games. That's another media addiction. Yeah, video games. You know what? Facebook, Twitter, all these other things. We keep popping ourselves on there to get a like. Hey, they're addictive. You know, people die every day to try and get a like on Facebook. Some of the crazy things people do where they take the ultimate photo, click, and off the tower they go. And they're still taking photos on the way down. You know, a comedian once said, I don't call it a selfie. I call it taking it alone. Because you're by yourself when you're taking a selfie. But it causes problems. And you know, I've got to say, I've got to admit something here. I struggle with some stuff. And you know something? When I apply grace to it, God takes care of it. Try fasting all forms of media for a day. Some of you are going to find that extremely difficult. Try it. You know, I did it. I did one day. One day without looking at my phone, one day without looking at the TV, one day without doing anything to do with media. You know, it's about climbing up the walls. And I had realized how reliant that I had become upon this sort of stuff. And we don't know it until we put it away. And I encourage you, if you want to fast something, fast media. Give it a shot. Give it a shot. And you know what else that media addiction leads to? Pornography. And this is a big one because it's a common one. It's out there. You know, 20 years ago, you didn't have the media or not as much of it. You actually had to go into a shop if you wanted to see any of that stuff. And there was a certain element of shame that went with that. But you know, these days, you don't even have to do that. You can carry it around in your pocket, pull your phone out. And men, we need to guard our minds here. Protect ourselves from it. And I get disgusted every time, and I'm being frank here, every time I go to Tuggeranong to the shops there, I have to turn. There's a particular store there, women's lingerie shop or whatever it is. I have to turn my back every single time. I try to avoid going past that particular spot in the shop simply for the fact there's naked women all over the billboards at the front of that shop. I refuse to look at junk mail. My wife loves them. I don't mind that. She can look at as much as she wants. But I personally refuse to look at them. And you know why, man? is because of the women that are scantily clad in their lingerie and whatever else that you will find in a Kmart catalogue, the Big W catalogue, Target catalogue. I'm just labelling it. But you know something? I'm better for it. Because I've made that stand, I've decided that I'm not going to do that. And when I get in trouble, I know that grace will cover that. And there's just one final one. And that is fearfulness. Fearfulness. I want you to know that God is with you in everything that you do, wherever you go. God is with you. You have nothing to be afraid of. Nothing. Do you think David was afraid when the bear came up against him? Do you think he was afraid when the lion came up against him? Do you think David was afraid when he went down to face Goliath? Do you want to know something? The Lord was with him. And so many of us have fears that are buried in here. Fears of being alone. Fears of being hurt. Fears of being left outcast. Runaways. Fears of those in our lives. And you know something? There's no fear that we need to worry about. Because God has not given us the spirit of fear. But he's given us love and power and a sound mind. What I want you to do tonight, saints, if you are struggling with fear, I want you to do this. Meet grace in the open. Meet grace in the open. And let grace cover your fears tonight. And if you haven't met grace, I just say to you that it's the best experience that you will ever have in your life. You know what? I don't care what you've been through. Because the Bible says, and such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and in the Spirit of our God. That's our God tonight, saints. We were once lost, but now we were found. We were once blind, but now we can see. We walk in the presence of God daily because God is our Savior. God is our Lord. God is our friend. He's our helper. He's our deliverer. He's our strength. He's our fortress. He's our buckler. He's our shield. He's our shelter. Praise God. There's nothing that our God can't be for us. There is nothing that our God can't do for us because our God is able. Our God is grace. His grace is more than enough. Hallelujah. Praise God. Do you want to know where I met grace? If the musicians would come. Do you want to know where I met grace? It was on a hill far away, so despised by the world. Praise God. I met grace at Calvary. And when I found Jesus upon that cross for me, you know what? I repented. I turned around. I said, I no longer want to live the way that I had been living. You know, I was the worst kind of person, at least I felt I was. And I'm sure many would say the same thing. I felt bruised. I felt hurt. I felt alone. All those things of a young person. Yeah, believe it or not, I came to God when I was 16. And I turned to God and I said, God, I need you more than ever. Yeah, it was a struggle, but I found Jesus. And I remember at a primary school. You know that primary school at Batemans Bay has now been demolished. It's now that big shopping complex that you know at Batemans Bay. It was a primary school then, and there was about five or six orange chairs at the altar under a blackboard. Now, I remember a pastor at the time saying, "Come, the altar is open." And you know, in a t-shirt, pair of shorts, hey, came out of the world. I came and knelt at the altar. Now I felt something come over me as I called upon the Lord and repented of my sin. And God came down upon me and filled me with that precious Holy Spirit. And I began to speak with other tongues. But it all began with repentance at the altar. Pastor Jonathan was speaking this morning exactly the same about heaven to earth, the tabernacle. We must first repent of our sins. We must first decide that we no longer want to live the way that we've always lived. And you know, even Christians sometimes turn around and go, "God, I must be missing something out there." And they turn their backs on God and say, "God, you're not enough. You're not good enough." But you want to know something? God is gracious. God is merciful. God is loving. If we would but repent and come back to the Lord. And you know, the second step was baptism. I got baptized in a beach. Boy, that was good. A cold wind blowing. I thought, this is going to be really good. But I stepped into the water at the beach and it was warm. It was like hopping into a bath. It was so warm. I thought, I must be out of my mind thinking about this. The ocean that I had been swimming in my whole life up to that. But as I went down into the waters of baptism and I came up and I could feel the lightness, I could feel the refreshing, I could feel the change. It felt good. Who can testify that it feels good? It felt good when you came up out of the waters. Who can say that it was true? Yes, amen, amen. And like I said, I was baptized with His Spirit. You won't find grace in a hiding place. You won't find grace behind a curtain anymore. Because that curtain was rent from top to bottom. And then the way to the Holy of Holies was made possible. And tonight I urge you to maybe make a fresh commitment to God. Maybe seek God again. Maybe say, "God, I need you in my life." Let you all stand. Sing this song together, amen.